Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down the side.
We know him as the Man in Black as we mark the 10th anniversary of Johnny Cash's death this year. His status as one of the greatest music legends has only grown. Now in the new book, Johnny Cash, The Life, veteran music journalist Robert Hilburn has written the definitive biography of Cash. Hilburn, one of the most widely read and respected pop music writers, was the music critic for the Los Angeles Times for more than three decades, a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominating committee. He's been reporting on music legends for a long time. He knew Cash well, reporting on him at many different points in his career, from the legendary Folsom Prison concert in 1968, where he was the only music journalist attending, to his wrenching last days.
I bet there's rich folks eating from a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep a moving, and that's what tortures me.
Great pleasure to welcome Robert Hilburn to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, Joe. Thanks very, very much for having me.
It is a delight to have you with us. I assume at some point you knew that you would write this book.
I'm always amazed when someone says I was with Cash at Folsom Prison. There's only one music journalist in the world who can say that. Isn't that amazing? It's hard for me to believe that I had the good fortune to be there at that time. But I knew John most of his life. I did several interviews with him over the years, including one just months before he died, in which he spent a long time talking about his reflections, about his joys and his regrets. And it was a great kind of perspective on it. But I never... Even at that point, I was not thinking about writing a book on Johnny Cash. I didn't start thinking about it until after his death, and I saw the movie came out and some other books about him. And when I sat down, I realized, look, I don't think that's the full Johnny Cash. I don't think that's the full story. And I thought he was so important in American pop culture that he deserved to have the full story told. And that's when I started writing the book. I started writing in 2009.
What do you think that many projects prior to this have missed, and even us as a culture have missed about this man?
Well, I think if you take the film, I think the film was the version of the John and June story that John and June wanted to be told, and I think it had a lot of good things in it. I think the direction was good. I think Joaquin Phoenix was good, but the story that John and June wanted told was not the real story. So that's the reason for that. In other cases, I think many of the books were written by people who were not close to John, who didn't really know John. I mean, hadn't even met him in many cases, and that gave me a great advantage when I went to talk to people after John's death, either his family or musicians or friends. They knew that John had trusted me. So they opened up, I think, in a way that they might not otherwise have. That was a big advantage. Plus, I was a music critic, and I could look at his music with more of a sense of scholarship, if you will, or judgment about it. And so I really wanted to pursue the artistry of Johnny Cash. And so I went into much more detail about his artistry and how his life, personal lifestyle, affected that artistry.
You do write in the book about his upbringing in rural Arkansas during the Depression, growing up desperately poor. How much did that shape him, do you think?
Oh, everything. You know, the thing about the years I was at the Los Angeles Times, I always wanted to write about meaningful artists, people who were not just entertainers, but who used their music to have to express meaning and ideas, people like Bob Dylan, John Lennon, Bruce Springsteen, Bono, and U2. And Johnny Cash was part of that. And Johnny Cash, in fact, helped start all that before they all came along. He was making music that was meaningful. And so I was always intrigued by artistry, and I could understand where most of those people got their artistry, but where did Johnny Cash get his? And I went to Deist. I wanted to start the book right there because I thought that might be the answer. And I went there three times, walked around the town with people who knew him, and it was clearly that was what started it. He's in the cotton fields as a little boy, the hot sun, it's hard work. The family is singing gospel songs to lift their spirits. He goes to the church three times a week. All the destitute farmers from this area that was set up by the government to give destitute farmers a second chance, they were all singing gospel songs to lift their spirits. So aside from his talent, his purpose as a musician was in lifting people's spirits, and it came right out of Deist, Arkansas.
And you write about this a lot, about the lifting spirits, that it was beyond, he was interested beyond the commercialism of the music industry.
Yeah, he had to sell records, and every once in a while he would make a record specifically for the jukebox, trying to have a hit. Some were good, some were awful. But the heart of his work were in these other the songs that had meaning in concept albums about the character of America, concept albums about Native Americans, concept albums about prisoners, you know, the Folsom Prison. And most of these albums, the record company couldn't care less. They wanted hits for the jukebox. I was a fan of Johnny Cash in the 60s. I didn't want those concept albums. I wanted more hits, you know, that I could listen to on the jukebox and on the radio. But he had this determination to keep making this music that was meaningful. Columbia was going to drop him in 1963. They said, we'll give you, if you don't come up with a hit this time, we're going to drop you. He comes up with Ring of Fire. And that does his career. But then he goes back again to making concept albums. That was his, you know, his mission. He was determined to make music that meant something to him. And he spent most of his life doing that, despite record company wishes, despite commercial, the attractiveness of selling more records. And that was, and also he did this, making the strange thing about it, the contradiction or the paradox, he's making this uplifting music, inspiring music, at the time he's battling demons every day of his life. Mm-hmm. You know, the drugs, his family resents him, his children, he abandons his children. It's a hard life Johnny Cash lived. You know, the fact that he was so torn by these demons.
When did you first start to see the effects of that in him and in his career?
I didn't know about it. I just looked at it generally. I thought I knew the drugs, but I came from rock and roll. There's this vaguely romantic nature of drugs. Keith Richards took drugs. Everybody took drugs in rock and roll. But I didn't understand until I started researching the book the pain that those drugs caused, not only him, but the people around him, how he would let them down time after time after time, and the guilt he would feel about that. He would take more drugs. So I never understood the depth of his struggle and the difficulty, the pain and sadness he went through much of his life. At the same time, he was trying to lift other people's spirits. You know, his spirits were so beaten down. But eventually, the grand thing about Johnny Cash is, in the last 10 years of his life, he has a final chance to make music. He makes some of the best music of his life. He gets he's the absolute Christian he wanted to be. He's got the love of June. It's the relationship that he always wanted. His children forgive him. So on his deathbed, he's redeemed. That's the same message he was telling other people all his life. If you keep your faith, you'll eventually be redeemed despite any hardship you have now.
Bring us to that day at Folsom Prison in 1968. What brought you there?
I thought it was a good story. I was trying to get a job at the LA Times, and I suggested, why don't you let me go as a tryout and do a story about the man who wrote Folsom Prison, singing Folsom Prison in Folsom Prison. And so they let me go. But and then the reason I was the only music journalist was that the record company was afraid he would show up stoned and they have to cancel the concert, and they didn't want the bad publicity, so they didn't invite anybody else. So that was the reason I was luckily the only person there.
And what was his condition?
He had taken drugs that morning, but he was in not enough to where he was, it affected his performance. And he was so determined. He knew this concert could be the turning point in his career. This could lead him to superstardom. And he was also excited about performing in front of prisoners, because again, it was the guy helping the underdog. He was trying to give those prisoners some hope, because he identified with that audience. He had been in jail. He had been arrested, and he was in handcuffs. His photo on the front page of papers, and his family saw that. He knew what it was like to be this kind of outcast. So it was a tremendous rapport between him and the audience. It was just a majestic day.
When you interviewed him, especially at the end of his life, were those conversations about the effects, the various highs and lows, the impact they ultimately had on him?
Well, I know it was more in the sense of I regretted leaving my children. That was one of the regrets. When he leaves his first wife, he leaves the children in essence and joins June Carter. He wanted to be with June, but he fought the divorce. He did not want the formal divorce. So he regretted that he had treated his first wife a certain way. He regretted that he was in unfaithful to June at different times in his life. So it was he would talk more about specific incidences rather than he regretted drugs. I mean, it was obvious he regretted drugs, but he was an addict. He couldn't probably help that. So that was more the regrets were more things that he did to people for various reasons.
I was struck by Roseanne Cash's blurb in the back of the book, a definitive biography of my father that is excruciatingly honest, rigorously researched, and has the depth and integrity that the subject demands. She has been on this program many times, very critical of the work about her father, and in particular the film and other books as well.
Roseanne, I think she was a little hesitant when I started to write the book. You know, I interviewed her, but it wasn't the most forthcoming interview. It was kind of like she was laying back to see how serious I was. And then as time went by, months go by, I'm sending her emails all the time asking about this and asking about that and clarification about that. And gradually she was talking to other people I was interviewing, and she really saw that I was serious and going to do a serious book. And she became so helpful. And one of the things that she was particularly helpful about was that I would find things in the research that were troubling to me, things that were going to, I know, offend the family if you said them. But I thought they were important to say because it gave perspective on his career and his music and his artistry. And she told me, and one time I sent her a thing about something, and she said, "Holy, are you going to put that? Are you going to put that in the book?" And gradually, though, she said, "If it's true, even if it makes the family feel uncomfortable, so be it. My father was big enough to his. He was all about the truth, and you should say the truth." And I probably would have put those things in the book anyway, but it gave me a lot more comfort to be able to have her blessing, because I didn't want to make it look like I was betraying the family after all the they had opened their hearts to me.
The name of the book is Johnny Cash, The Life. It is published by Little Brown. Robert Hilburn, thank you very much for spending time with us.
Joe, thank you very much.
A great pleasure. Again, the title of the book, Johnny Cash, The Life, by Robert Hilburn. It's published by Little Brown. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.